This is for the buzz that haunts. This is for the question marks. This is for the outcast soul, lost control, no one knows. Sing it for the can't go back. Sing it for the broken past. Sing it for the just found out. Life is now upside down. If you're looking for hope tonight, raise your hand. If you feel alone and don't understand. If you're fighting the fight of your life, then stand. We're gonna make it through this hand in hand. And if we fall, we will fall together. Together.
If you're looking for hope tonight, raise your hand. If you feel alone and don't understand. If you're fighting the fight of your life, then stand. We're gonna make it through this sand in hand. And if we fall, we will fall together.
Just one of those things that we have to do. Anyway, on top of that, we do have a call-in number, and it is 1-803-200-2277. And I will be putting that up on the board so we can get all that stuff done too. And let's see where it's at. Get our banners on up there. So here we go. Okay, folks. And let's get on over here. We're in Ecclesiastes, and we've been talking about this for a while. And we're last week we stopped at chapter 8, and chapter 8, it's on page 737. Ecclesiastes has been absolutely wonderful. I just love the Bible, so I love reading about it, and I love reading and going over it and discovering new stuff all the time. But if you ever have any questions, the Bible is always open to interpretation. Go to your church. You know, I can't stress that enough, to go to church. Make sure that you ask questions to your priest. Make sure you ask it to the clergy. I'll just tell you, to wherever you go, rabbis, it's very important that you ask questions to them, because they have a very well-rounded training and background in it. And for me, I just read it. Okay. So, you know, understand that I'm not going to tell you what your interpretation is, or vice versa. It's open to interpretation, reproach. So we're going to start there. Chapter 8, page 737, submit to authority. Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God, be not hasty to go on out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of a man is great upon him. For he knoweth not which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this I have seen, and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time within one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. The inability to understand all God's doing. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city. And where they had so done, this also vanity, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And that's a problem. If you wouldn't do things if God were right there in front of you, if Christ were right there. So because that's not happening, the problem is that people don't take what they're doing seriously because there's no one there to correct them. But it is our moral obligation, responsibility, duty, to follow God's commandment, to obey him at all times, to be Christ-like at all times. It's the only way we can protect ourselves. It's the only way that it can go to where we gain eternal life with Christ, knowing that he died for our sins. But we must believe in him in order to do so. So here we go. Though a sinner do evil, and 100 times, and the days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall it prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth, according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth, according to the work of the righteous. I said, this also is vanity. When I commendeth mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor, the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. When I applied my heart to know wisdom, and to see the businesses that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, through a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. And I think it's important to say that we can't possibly know the inner workings and thought patterns of God and why the things are done here. God knows those things. We cannot understand those things, because we cannot understand the thinking and the inner workings of Christ God. It's impossible for us. We can try to do it. We might think we're smart enough to do it, but that's when we become the most foolish. Judgment comes to all men. Chapter 9, page 738. For all this I considered my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is not one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. The madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. So you have to protect yourself. You have to do what's right. You have to do what's kind. You have to do what's loving. Otherwise, everything that you do is going to be for naught. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. You have the choice. You need to do it while we are alive here. Once it's done, it's done. It's over. And so anything that you ever did, anything you labored for, anything you toiled for, anything that you worked hard for, but if you're not doing it in the righteousness and the commandment of God, it's a huge problem, and you will be forgotten. You will not be in the book of life. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither they have any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Enjoy life while you have it. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments always be white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of life of thy vanity, which he hath given under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whosoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For a man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. So now we're going to get into the value of that wisdom, and we're going to talk about it, that, you know, how important it is to enjoy life, have joy, have love, have those things, those things that you're going to do in God's commandments and God's ways. Those are looking further. It's not worldly things. None of that matters. It is What are you looking forward to after here? That's the important part. This wisdom I have seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembereth that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise men are heard in quiet, more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. And we have to remember that. That's, you know, one bad apple is not good. And we know who that is. That's Satan. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to steal your life. He's going to kill you off and destroy any existence of you. Wisdom's characteristics. Dead flies caused the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking flavor. So doeth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he said to every one that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth the stones shall be hurt within, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not wet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Surely the serpent will bite without an enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and at the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for the bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Wisdom related to businesses. Now this is chapter 11. We're on page 739. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. And we can't. How could we possibly know the things that God does, the reasons why he does that, and why he does them, how he does them? In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thy eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. So be careful on what you do, in everything that you do, even when you're younger and you're not quite wise yet. Because eventually, all things are going to become before God. And God knows everything. There are no secrets. Anything that we do here, he already knows. Anything that we're going to do after we're here, he knows. Anything that we're doing in the future, he knows. There are no secrets from God. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember God in your youth. This is important. Chapter 12, 739. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out for the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sounds of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and the fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fare, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or even the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And in the conclusion, fear God and keep his commandments. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he have good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, which was written, was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by masters of the assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Who's that one shepherd? Christ. And he knows his flock. And they will come to him because they will hear him. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It's important for us to remember that no matter what, we're going to stand before him, saved or not. There's a judgment coming. Hopefully you'll be saved and you will believe that his son, his one and only begotten son, came to this earth and gave his life so that we could be forgiven for our sins, because he did not sin. And it's important that we, from that point on, from that time on, do the best that we can absolutely do. And hello, Isaac, how are you? Yes, thank you, Isaac. I think that it's so important that we go through the Bible over and over. You have to start somewhere. Do you remember when you were first given a bicycle and there were training wheels on it? And you rode that. You had the training wheels, kept you from falling over, kept you from skinning your knees and everything else. But when those came off, you had to practice. You had to practice, you had to pedal, and you were working real hard at it. And that's how you need to look at the Bible. It's important to do that every day, day in and day out. You are preparing yourself in life for more than an Olympic event. Your life, it's dependent on your life. And that's what it is. And he's not asking us anything that is so burdensome. He's asking us to believe. He's asking us to love and follow his commandments. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. And yet every day we're going to fall short. The Spirit, our advocate, is such a gift that helps us with understanding, a gift that guides us in the right way. And what we mustn't do is quench it, is hold it down. We need to let it do what it does. And the Spirit is God. And we need to have that Spirit lead us. We know right from wrong. And we see everything that goes on in this world today. It is our moral responsibility, obligation to God who gave us life, who created all things. He's outside time, space, and matter. He is spiritual. And Christ God gave us a chance to live forever. Look at what the opposite is. This isn't a hard call. It's not. And we can do better. We all fail at it, but we can do better. We have a moral responsibility to always do better every day, better than yesterday. And we don't do that. And I love Ecclesiastes because it's clear and right to the point. And it's absolutely wonderful. I think we're going to move on over to Matthew. I told you, we're going to be jumping both back and forth, Old Testament, New Testament. And you'll notice that in the different books, how everybody saw different things and saw it different. But let's go ahead. We're going to jump into Matthew now. We have about a half an hour left. So let us get started here. Chapter 1, page 1059. And like I said, I'm not a preacher, I'm not clergy. I'm not a rabbi. I'm not a priest. I'm not a bishop. I'm not anything. I'm a guy that loves to read the Bible. I go to church. I go to a wonderful church. And if I get confused or whatever, or if I don't know the answer to it, I'm going to ask because, you know, it's important. This is my fourth time reading the Bible front to back. And I'm still, it's still important. I mean, we've seen things. I've seen things that we go through it. We talked about this at the beginning of Genesis. We talk about Job a lot, but I love the beginning of Genesis. You know, when we're in, before we start Matthew, God, when Adam was brought to life, when breath was breathed into his nostrils, God had a divine relationship, divinity to humanity. So much so that after God created all the animals and everything, he told Adam, listen, I love you so much. I want you to be a part of this. Name them. Name the animals. He actually gave him the opportunity to help in a way in that creation, that relationship, that divine relationship with humanity. And of course, he said, listen, it's not good for man to be alone. So along came Eve. And of course, after being beguiled by the serpent and given fruit, there's no apple. Okay, it doesn't say banana, it doesn't say apple, it doesn't say orange or what, fruit. And after that happened, and they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and after that happened, Adam broke, which is why we're in the spot that we're in today. He broke that divine relationship to humanity and that humanity to humanity relationship. And how did he do that? Well, he looked at God and he said, the woman that you gave me fruit to eat, and I ate it. So basically, he turned on God and said, it's your fault because you gave her to me. And then he turned on Eve and said, she gave me the fruit, and I ate it. So he broke that relationship in two ways. The divine relationship with humanity that God had made, that God had in place, and the humanity to humanity. And a lot of people are like, well, he was punished. He was kicked out of Eden. God didn't kick him out because he hated him. If he felt that way, he would have just taken their lives. Well, he kicked them out because he loved them. And I believe at that point, when he put the cherubim there, he did not want them to then eat from the tree of life. They don't need to be immortal because we already know now good of evil. And we don't know in maybe the future that God would have said, okay, listen, let me explain this to you. Let me explain the truth. But we know that Satan was crafty. And we know he lies. That's what he does. Remember, steal, kill, and destroy. That's his only goal. And we also come to the conclusion, which common sense, and of course it's open to interpretation, the opposite of Satan is not God. Satan is an archangel. God created him. So therefore, the opposite of Satan is Michael. And what happens at the end in Revelations? Michael and the angels, they booted Satan out. That's what happened. Didn't it? God didn't have to do it. Michael did it. He's an archangel. Satan was an archangel. Lucifer. Okay? God already showed his power over Satan in Job. And we've gone over that. The angels came, and along with them came Satan. And God said, where have you been? Going back and forth, to and fro in the earth. Have you considered my servant Job, an upright man that escheweth evil? He said, oh, well, you put a hedge around him. Take that hedge away and he'll curse you to your face. God said, okay, but you can't touch Job. What happened there? We saw the command God gave Satan. Not, I'm going to give you a suggestion. No, he gave a command. There's the power. How could we possibly know the inner workings of God? He is so powerful. He just gave Satan a command. Satan has no choice but to follow it. That's power. No choice. And then he comes back again later on after Zobad and Bildad, and they're all telling Job, you must have done something wrong. You did something. God doesn't do this. And of course, that made God angry too. Because how could they possibly know what God is going to do? On their puny minds, and our puny minds, our human minds, we think that we know what God is going to do, and we know him that well? That's ridiculous. So the next time he came around, the angels came and presented themselves before the Lord. Along came Satan again. And God gave him another command. He told Satan this time when he said, well, surely if you let me touch Job, you put this hedge around him, he'll curse you to your face. And he said, fine, but you will spare his life. You will not kill him. You will spare his life. Two commands directly to Satan. And Satan just doesn't walk on up and decide to have a chat with God. Oh, no, the angels came to present themselves to God, and along with them came Satan, which in my interpretation is that, first of all, he wasn't going anywhere without, whoa, wait a minute here. We'll let God know that you're here. We'll let him know and then present you. So he can't just come on in there anytime he wants. No, that's no way. So keep those things in mind as we look at the wonderful stories that we go through. I'm reading what Isaac said here, Isaac Braden, and I'm so glad you joined. Thank you so much. Cut from the source, I think that the tree made him wise, and he saw good and evil that was scared after he ate it. It had to be understood. He knew it would happen. He is God, and he knew, and it was a part of his plan. Absolutely. Absolutely. We knew this before, and a lot of people don't realize. There had to be a war or an uprising that was trying to happen in heaven, and God wanted no part of it, and that was the end of it. Satan wanted praise to come to him instead of through him going to God, and God said, you're done. I'm done with you. You're banished. You're out. And of course, that's how the serpent got onto the earth. Now, if you pay attention after they did the events and after it happened, God said, now you will crawl on your belly for the rest of your life and eat dust and dirt. We think a serpent, and right away we think a snake. It's a euphemism, you know. But at that point, for him to say, you will crawl on your belly at this point, I think points out to a big thing there. What do we have happening there? You will suffer now. He was really upset. That's, you know, but he still said, okay, Adam, now you're going to work from the sweat of your brow for the rest of your life. And Eve, you, when you do have kids, you're going to feel the pain. You're going to feel the travail in that. Very interesting. There's a lot of different things that go on that I absolutely enjoy through Genesis. I mean, we saw that, you know, with Abraham, and we saw it with Jacob and Esau. Absolutely wonderful stuff. Anyway, let's go ahead. Let's get started here. I don't want to waste any more of anyone's time and everything, and we'll go into reading. The Genealogy of Christ, Chapter 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Thamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Nahson, and Nahson begat Solomon. And Solomon begat Boaz. Boaz, another great book. We're going to read that absolutely in there, and that's in the book of Ruth. So I can't wait to go through that one, because that's an awesome book too. Of Rachab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David, and the king David begat Solomon to her that had been the wife of Urus. I don't get these names always pronounced right. I apologize for that. Very hard to pronounce some of them. and Solomon begat Roboam, and Roboam begat Abia, and Abia begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Ashars, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconiah and his brethren, about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begat, some of these names are really hard, so I really apologize, because I'm sure I'm messing these up, so I apologize, Lord. Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Asham, and Asham begat Eliad. And Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matthan, and Matthan begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Immaculate Conception, absolutely wonderful. And you're going to see in here that in different parts, you know, from Luke and to Matthew, to John and Mark, that Mary basically had a choice. Don't be scared. Here's what's going to happen. You know, she could have easily turned away and said, this is too much for me. I can't bear this. But she did. Being young of age and everything else, she stepped up and said, whatever you command, Lord, I'm going to do. And that's exactly what she did. So it was absolutely amazing that this young, wonderful woman that helped save us by being a vessel for Christ was here on this earth. Now, the birth of Jesus was on the wise when Mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. And she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being just a man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away private. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not his sins, our sins. He's going to save us from our sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, it's a tough spot for Joseph at first, saying, how in the world, if you're a virgin, are you pregnant? And he did not want to make a mockery of her. He did not want to do anything like that. He wanted to do everything in private. He's very low-key, laid back. And the angel comes to him and says, listen, this is what's going on. Do not worry about this. You love her, take her as your wife. For what is in her is beyond all comprehension. You have to understand, it's from the Holy Ghost. It's a gift from God. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, before there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? And right away, they're the ones saying, You are the king of the Jews. It starts there, the wise men. For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of all the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus as it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. We already see all the deceitfulness and the lies and how Satan works. He didn't want to go and worship him, and we all knew that. Are you kidding? They're worried about losing their place. They're worried about how it's going to affect them. He was just called the king of the Jews. He's come from God. The wise men know this. They know this right away. And, all of a sudden he wants to go and worship him too. He's going to remove him. How can that be? When they had heard that the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they were come into the house, and saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. They weren't going to go back. They weren't going to let him know. They were already given a warning. God was protecting exactly his son, his one and only begotten son. The scriptures have to be fulfilled. The prophets need to, it all has to come true. So now we're down here. Herod is, he's something else. And when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and the mother, and flee into Egypt. See, what's happening right there at that point is they're leaving the jurisdiction of Herod. And they're going into Egypt. Joseph makes a bold and wonderful move. Of course, he's guided, but he makes this bold move because Herod doesn't have any jurisdiction there. So there's nothing that he can do. See, it's out of his hands. So there's nothing he can do. And I love that. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when they arose, they took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and were there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Another proof of, you know, we're talking about putting God on trial, and I'm an advocate for God and for Christ. But it's another proof of exactly how everything unfolds. It's the proof of Christ. It's the proof of God. You know, Herod's done for. Nothing he can do. Well, what does Herod do anyway before he dies? When Herod, when he saw he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and set forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all in the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. So even in vain, Herod does these things. And he hurts so many people along the way because he's so fearful of losing his place. And you can see the evil that he did. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and he took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. As he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. We're on chapter 3 now, 1061. And I think that we're gonna stop there. And hey, Isaac, thank you for joining. I'm not great at this, but I enjoy doing it, and I'm so grateful for the support. And I hope that I do justice for God. I really do. I hope that I've done justice and do justice. I think it's important. But we see all this play out now, and you see exactly. This is going to be the beginning here of this wonderful part of Matthew, because, you know, the person of John the Baptist, yet now we're going to hear about John, who's going to make way before Christ God. He's going to come out of the wilderness, eating honey, locusts, everything else, and get ready, because we're going to rock and roll at this point, and it is going to be absolutely fantastic. So, we're going to stop there tonight, and I thank you for tuning in to Life Walk with Christ God. And we're on chapter 3, and matter of fact, we're going to mark it on down as we do every week, so we know right where we're going to pick up next week. 24, right there, chapter 3, page 1061. And next week we're gonna get into it. We're gonna talk about it. But I want you to go back in your minds, and I want you to think about, first of all, the wise men, and you know, how right away they knew what the star was. They knew what was happening. They knew this was the Lord and Savior coming. And they were warned and said, listen, don't go back by Herod's way. He is deceitful. He's lying. He's, you know, he wants to kill the Christ. And people ask me all the time, how do you know that man hasn't rewritten the Bible and changed it over and over again? He is the most powerful God, the only God. And you don't think he has the power to protect his word? He makes lightning hit its mark every time. He knows every single event, creature, animal, everything on this earth. How many times all the bees, all the birds, everything else flap their wings when they eat. He knows every animal, every creature, how many steps, how many breaths, everything, every hair on our head, how many steps we're going to take, how many breaths we're going to take, how many times we're going to blink. There's nothing that he doesn't know in the entire existence of not only this world, but the entire universe that he's not aware of and doesn't control. And he can't protect his book. I'm sorry. There's when you take all this into perspective, when you look at this, this is what makes it so amazing. And this is what will change your life. So start somewhere. You got the training wheels on just as I do. Now the training wheels are off and we're riding. And we're going to pedal. We got to pedal. And we've got to steer and we got to do that. Otherwise, we're going to scrape our knees along the way. You know, we're going to make our mistakes. And how we recover and the knowledge that we choose, that's what God gives us in our world today, how we deal with things. So with that, I wish everybody an absolutely wonderful and blessed week. I just be good to one another. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. Don't focus on it. Don't focus on the worldly things. Focus on the good things. Focus on, you know, God. Make sure that you focus and enjoy yourself. The big difference from happiness and joy. Have joy in your life. And you will. The more you read, the more joy you will have. But all I can say is that I wish you all well. God bless you. And you know what? I'll catch you all next week. Thank you again, Isaac, for, listening in and tuning in. I'm honored. So, praise God. And that's all I can say. But I'll see you guys later. God bless. And we are going to, we got so much cool stuff going on, by the way. But, there we go. And I love watching all the,
once upon a time, you were 25, walking up the aisle. You made the promise of your life. Blinked twice and you were 29, singing lullabies. And I looked up at you for the first time. Words fall short, yeah, I am sure. They'll never be anyone like you. You're strong like your father, even when you were scared. sing this song for you.